Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference Call for the 24th day of December. Yep, Christmas Eve, year 2023. I am your host, Pastor Dan, and the topic for today's broadcast is Joyeux Noël, Feliz Navidad, and Frohe Weihnachten, which is French, Spanish, and German for Merry Christmas. Now, before we get into it, of course, we want everybody to know that we of Identity fully know that our Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, was not born on December 25th, all right? So even though we say Merry Christmas, it's in the spirit of fellowship and peace amongst the Caucasian Israelites of today, and we are fully aware that he was actually born during the Feast of Tabernacles, which is in the fall, but not December 25th. That's something we were handed to by the diabolical Roman Catholic Church. We dedicate this broadcast to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this broadcast to his holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shumai, and welcome to the broadcast. Prinhanda, Cumri Ambith, Yakida. By the way, Yakida is, and I may not be pronouncing it like true Welsh, forgive me for that, but Yakida is basically good health in Welsh. And it's very, very, very close to the ancient Hebrew, and I don't even know how to pronounce it, but it's close to that, and it meant beloved or blessed. So, again, the fingerprints of who we are, where we come from, and all, and especially it can be traced through Welsh, which I'm so proud of that, since I am Welsh myself, Welsh, English, and then the fact that, you know, a lot of people think that Yiddish is the language of our people, which is the bastardized fake language of the Jew, and you know, we don't recognize that because we know the truth. We're truth seekers, so we look for the inheritance that was promised to Yahweh's people, and that is us, and we are the children of the covenants and promises. I have another little saying here. I'm going to send it out. And again, if I'm not perfect in pronunciation, you're going to just have to forgive me that. But faites la paix, pas la guerre. That's French for make peace, not war, which is what we should be all working towards. Mache Frieden, keinen Krieg. That's German for the same thing. And haz la paz, no la guerra, which is Spanish for the same thing. Make peace, not war. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is all together, no spaces. And if you go to the homepage there, you'll find information on how to help us out financially, if you feel led to do so. And if you don't, that's fine too. There is a page called Contact Us. If you don't have my personal email or phone number, etc., then please use that to send me a message. Richard Buckminster Fuller, I know you're tired of hearing it, but I just love this quote. You never change things by fighting the existing reality. To change something, build a new model that makes the existing Babylonian model obsolete. And that's what we're all about. That's why we keep talking about community and trying to set up communities of like-minded individuals. And Yahweh willing, we are going to do that sooner rather than later, let us hope. Proverbs 25, verse 2, it is the glory of Yahweh God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings to search out a matter. In other words, the truth's out there. You just have to seek it, okay? He doesn't make it easy. You know, a lot of people think, well, you know, if God really cared, he'd just sort of like implant all this knowledge in my head. Well, yeah, he could. He could. But, you know, it's like us as parents. Just think about that. As earthly, imperfect parents, do you want to do the thinking for your children? Do you want to go cut up their food for them and feed them like a little baby for all of their life? No, you expect them to go out and do it. You teach them, you show them, but then they're supposed to follow through. Okay? It's the same for us. That's why he's called our Heavenly Father. Not our heavenly genie in a bottle, not our heavenly master, our Heavenly Father. And again, it's the relationship we have with our Father. Now, a lot of people say, and I've heard this over the years, you know, I am a believer. Okay, well, yeah. So, Yahweh is a king and our Father. Yahweh is our creator. It's the relationship with him that matters. Not that you recognize who he is. That doesn't change anything. When you come into a relationship with him, when he is actually invited into your heart, then the change comes. And remember, even in scripture, it says, without the evidence of a changed life, there is no conversion. In other words, you may fool yourself into believing that you're, quote, saved or part of the kingdom, but if you don't have a relationship with the Father, if his relationship with you has not, quote, changed your life, I would seriously doubt that you actually have that relationship, okay? In other words, true faith, true belief, true honoring and revering of the Father has to create a change. It has to. 2 Chronicles 7:14, the formula for success for our people that we've forgotten. If my people on whom my name is named make themselves low or humble and come to me in prayer, searching for me. Whoa, searching for me. No, not sitting on your ass thinking somebody's going to do it for you. And turning from their evil ways. Uh-oh, we sort of forgot that part too. Then I will give ear from heaven, overlooking their transgressions, called sins, and will give life again to their land. Now, the church world focuses in on this word sin because they seem to have, captured that word, trademarked it. And it's like the medical mafia. The medical mafia captures words like cure and diagnose and treatment, okay? You're not allowed to use those words if you're a naturopath or naturopath, okay? Well, the church world, same thing. The Catholic Church, the great whore that she is, captured that word sin, and now the denominational churches, which are the daughters of the great whore, they have captured it as well, and they got sin to be whatever they tell you it is, when sin is actually transgression of Father's law. Simple as that. So the folks out there that think the food laws have been done away with because the pagan church world out there, the mainstream Christianity world, has told you it's been done away with. And as Pete Peters said, what changed in a pig from the day before the crucifixion to the day after? Okay, what changed? Well, the answer, obviously, is absolutely nothing. The pig is still a vile, despicable creature as far as a food source. Okay, everything in Yahweh's kingdom has a purpose, of course, but a pig was not put here to be food. A pig was put here to be a garbage collector, just like a vulture. Okay, they eat carrion, they eat dead things, okay? Pigs eat almost anything, and I know. I grew up on farms, and my grandfather had pigs on his farm, and my dad had a pig as well for a short while, but it was too violent, and he was afraid we as small children would fall into the pen one day, and he'd come home and find that the pig had eaten us, and that was a legitimate concern, trust me. If a pig's hungry, you could literally get eaten by them. So he got rid of it. But the point of it is that nothing changed in the animal kingdom and in the world to where the food laws were done away with. And yet the church world wants you to think it was. And the point of it is that Yahweh puts all this stuff here for our benefit. That's why he said even the Sabbath was created for us, not him. Do you think he needs a Sabbath? Absolutely not. But do you and I need it? Yeah, we sure as heck do. All right. Henry David Thoreau told us that there's 1,000 hacking at the branches of evil to one who is striking at the root. Mr. Thoreau is quite right. About 1 out of 1,000 people get it. 1 of 1,000 see that the root of all the evil that's going on in this world goes back to a single source. And again, if you follow the money, it'll take you to that source. And yep, it's those guys wearing them little beanies. And that includes the Roman Catholic Church, by the way. If you haven't noticed, the hierarchy of the Roman Catholic Church wear the same kind of beanies because they're in the same league. They're part of the same tribe. If you don't know what I'm talking about, well, then shame on you. You should figure it out. Isaiah 5 and verse 20 tells us, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." In other words, for those who turn things upside down. And that's the world we live in today. Have you not noticed? Okay, absolutely. Now, we know that tomorrow is not the real birthday of our Messiah. Okay? That's a creation of the Roman Catholic Church, as I said. However, it is the real birthday for Miss Ella! And we're going to shout out happy birthday to Miss Ella. And the reason we're doing that is because Miss Ella has been a part of this ministry for, I think, what, almost 6 years now. And a lot of people don't know that. But I thought today, since the fake birthday is tomorrow, but the real birthday is for one of our own, and I just want the world to know that she is a very big part of this ministry, that we share a lot of research together, a lot of talk time on the telephone, and we talk through many, many different theological issues that are coming up and historical issues as well. And Miss Ella is Finnish, and if you think Welsh is a tough language to learn, have Miss Ella tell you some things in Finnish sometime. It's almost as tough as Welsh. So, but we are kinfolk, and that's one of the things I want to stress at this time. We should be at peace with one another, whether you're Finnish, whether you're from the Netherlands, whether you're from Ireland, France, Hungary, Austria, Germany, Canada, the United States. It doesn't matter. We're all kinfolk. We're all part of the Caucasian Israelite race. And we should stop fighting each other because of the provocations of a group of people called Jews. All wars are bankers' wars. Well, that's a euphemism for all wars are Jewish wars, because who owns the corporations that make the money? The Jews do. Who are the fomenters of these wars? Jews. Who lied to us to get us into World War I? Jews. Who lied to us to get us into World War II? Jews. Who got us into Vietnam? Jews. Okay? Sooner or later, even brain-dead white people have to wake up to the commonality of the troubles for our race and the world all come from the same root. And the world is starting to wake up to this. That's why you see the Jews bemoaning the, quote, rise in anti-Semitism, which is just a word for them that they use when people stand up and tell the truth about the Jews, because they hide just like their ancestors. And as our Messiah said, the Arian Christ, that they are of their father, Diablos, the adversary, the devil. And when they speak a lie, they speak their own language. Yeah, they do. They are liars and deceivers. It's kind of interesting that the word yid means deceiver in Yiddish, and they speak Yiddish. So what is Yiddish? Yiddish is the language of deceivers. And that's what they are, deceivers, just like we were told in the book of Revelation and other places. They call themselves of Judah, and yet they are of the synagogue of Satan. Yeah, they are. And again, the world is finally starting to take the blinders off and realize that these people are the enemies of mankind. And all you have to do to see the true nature of the Jew is look at what's being done to the Palestinians in Gaza and elsewhere around the world. And again, if you do the deep dive into the research of history on world wars and major conflicts, you'll find the nefarious Jew and their money at the root of all of the bloodshed. As Christ himself said, ye are responsible for all of the innocent blood shed. Those are the words of Christ. I wonder how many Christians out there, these so-called Christians, understand that. While they're promoting this country called Israel, when Israel in the Bible is a people, it's not a country. It's a people, Israel, Jacob, Israel, man ruling with or as El, God, Ishrael, Ish is the Hebrew word for a man, Ish. That's where we get British, the people of the covenant, British, Irish, the people, the men of Ireland, Ish. You see the tie? Yeah, it's a tie to us, not to them. Not to them at all. Matthew 15, verse 3, he answered them, and why do you break the commandment of Yahweh God? For the sake of your tradition. And why do we bring that up? Again, we have a tradition that tomorrow is the birthday of Christ, which is in error. And yet it is a tradition that came to us from the Catholic Church, and we keep up our traditions, even though in Matthew chapter 15 it says that we break the commandments of God for the sake of our traditions. Well, what commandment of God? To seek the truth. All right, did not Yahshua say, I am the truth, the way, and the life? Okay, so when you seek the truth, you're seeking him. And conversely, if you're seeking him, you're seeking truth. Okay, you should always be what? A truth seeker. And since Christmas, the way it's celebrated anyway, is pagan. Book of Jeremiah makes it very clear that we're not to cut down a perfectly good, healthy tree from the woods and bring it in and turn it into an idol. Okay, I know a lot of people are trapped into it. They don't want to break up the family. They don't want to disappoint the children because, after all, that's what they're looking at, the gift giving. And again, I know there's a few exceptions out there. However, for the most part, that's what the children are interested in. They're not interested in the, quote, Christmas story, the coming of Yahshua, none of that. All they understand is that's the morning when they get a whole lot of presents. And by the way, since I've reached 7 decades on this earth, interestingly enough, when I was a boy back in the 50s and 60s, Christmas was not so bountiful as the children of this age seem to have it, okay? Families didn't go out of their way to fill the underneath of the tree with tons of gifts. We did not get that many gifts. Most of the gifts we got were like new shirts or new socks or new underwear, or in my case, some long johns because of the cold winters. Okay, we usually only got one gift that was a toy. And I remember the year my brother and I had to share the one gift because it was expensive to my mom and dad anyway. And it was a Civil War set. So that one gift was the gift for both my brother and myself. Now, can you imagine that today? With the people are today, especially these young folks, can you imagine if mom, dad, you went up to your children and said, oh, by the way, money's a little tight. This here one gift is for both of you boys. Okay? My brother and I, we were elated. We didn't bitch. We didn't moan. We were quite happy. He became the Union Army, and I was the Confederacy. And imagine that. Pastor Dan being a rebel. I aligned with the Confederacy more than the Union, even as a child. Just as a child growing up and I watched 20th Century with Walter Cronkite, I identified with the Germans as much as I did the Americans. In fact, oftentimes more so. I had no idea why. It's just that it sort of struck a chord with me. And well, years later, when I learned my identity, it made perfect sense. I'm German. I'm German. I'm English and Irish and Welsh as well, but I'm also German. And I was told to, not so much then, but later on, I was told I should hate my German heritage. Well, I got news for you. I love my German heritage. And anybody telling me I have to hate it, you can pack sand. And I don't need to tell you where. John 14, verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Talking about Yahweh here. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. The enemy lives off our fears, folks. Our animosity, our anger, our frustration, lashing out at one another, backstabbing one another, gossiping about one another. Okay, the enemy loves that. They feed off of that fear, that anxiety. Well, conversely, the enemy cringes when Israelites come together as a family. I'm not going to read it all to you right now. Malachi is a very short book in the Bible. It's the last book in your standard King James in the Old Testament. It's kind of fitting it is, especially chapters 3 and 4. We need to focus on that because that is the chapters talking about us coming back together as a family, which is where we're at in the timeline. That's why I'm so happy to see so many of the memes going around talking about the fact we need to stop fighting each other for the sake of the Jew. We got to stop doing that. We're kinfolk. And the Jew gets away with what he's doing because we lash out at one another, because we speak a different language, or we live in a different area of Europe or North America, when in fact we are all cousins. Oh, I know the Jewish 23andMe and all these other so-called DNA groups are going to try to tell you that there are no pure anymore. Well, I got news for you. If there were no more pure anymore, then Messiah is never coming. Okay, did you hear what I just said? Why would he come back for his own if he doesn't have his own? Why would Yahweh have anything to do with this world if we're all impure? If we're all bastards, mamzers. So the enemy lies, which they always do. And one way you can tell that is because you and I are here. We still breathe air. We still function in this world. We are his sons and daughters. And so that's proof in and of itself that the Jew lies. But they can get a lot of people to believe that. I've heard people say, well, there's only one race on the earth, Daniel, the human race. Go tell a doctor that. Okay? Doctors are trained that certain medications are not good for certain races. And if they don't know that, they're a poor, piss-poor doctor. Okay? Go tell a historian that. Go to the Smithsonian Institute and say that all races are the same. It's just one human race. Okay? Go tell a true historian or a true archaeologist. Or anybody that cares about truth in general, go tell them there is no separate races. It's just the human race. And as more and more people are out there race mixing, which is a extremely evil thing to do. That's why in the scriptures, it's very, very clear that our Heavenly Father says that race mixing is an abomination. Do you know what the word abomination means? Well, I know you went to public school, so you probably don't, or you went to mainstream churchianity churches, and they're not going to tell you either, okay? But if you're a truth seeker, then you'd want to know what our Heavenly Father, our Creator, considers an abomination. Race mixing is an abomination. Well, Dan, why would he be against that? Or is my dad, believe it or not, my dad? Bless his heart, told me one day, well, Dan, if God was against races mixing, then why are they able to have children? I said, oh, Dad, you're one of the smartest men I've ever met in my life, and I can't believe you said that. That's when I told him, I said, does a robin mate with a sparrow? They're both birds. No, in nature they do not. A donkey and a horse can mate and create a mule. and it's sterile. Why? Because it is an abomination. It is something that is not supposed to exist, but man playing God. We're always playing God. We can never be satisfied with the world that he gives us. We can't be satisfied with the fruits and vegetables the way they were created. We got to constantly hybridize them, which is a different way of saying mongrelize them, which in the Greek Septuagint, what is the commandment? Ukmukesus. Do not mongrelize. And it's talking about your cats and dogs too, folks. Okay, a lot of people, my pet dog, it's a mix between a Cocker Spaniel and a Jack Daniel. They're not Jack Daniels, they're Jack Russell. Okay? And they act like that's a good thing. Okay? Well, like I've said this story many, many times, my beloved sister, when she was alive, she had 7 dogs in her house. She had the mom and the dad and the 5 puppies. So it was a control group in a way. And yeah, the mom and dad, the mom was a Chihuahua, and I can't remember what the male was. But there were 5 offspring. So they were a mixed multitude. They were bastards. They were mamzers. Now, she loved these animals because she had a woman's heart, unconditional love for these dogs, but I used to get on her all the time about the dogs. And every single one of those 5 pups had major, major health issues, whether it was allergies, food allergies, eye problems. One of them had a spine that ended up curving to the point where the rear legs no longer worked. Why is it we can't see the truth of Yahweh's law? Why must we always think that we know better? We can create a better world if we just tweak it here and there. And yet our tweaking of this world, whether it's the environment, the water, the food, the air, blah, 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 doesn't matter. We always make it worse. And the same thing goes for marriage. The same thing goes for interracial dating and marriage. Same thing. The way we have marriage today is not working. And if you don't know that, you're not paying attention. Why is that? Because we're not doing it the way the Father says to do it. Now, I admit, most people don't give a damn. I don't, you know how many phone calls I get from people saying, "Hey, Dan, would you explain to me the way Yahweh really wants us to have marriage?" Well, I've been doing this for many decades now, and I get very few phone calls from anybody that gives a damn. But I'm going to tell you something. You're living in misery, most of you. I know you are. But you refuse to find out what kind of marriage system our Father actually condoned. Why? Because, once again, you're full of yourselves, thinking you know better. And especially the ladies, they have a great big problem with that J word called jealousy. And don't tell me you don't, women. Come on. I've been around you enough. I've listened to you enough. It's a huge problem. Now, praise Yahweh, there are some of you ladies out there that are starting to get it. And most of the men understand it, but the ladies seem to have a real hard problem with it because of that J word. Well, I got news for you. Our Father doesn't give a damn whether you like it or not. He doesn't give a damn if I like it or not. It's his way or the highway. Sooner we learn that, the better life is going to be. Luke 2, verse 14. Glory to Yahweh God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Now, the church world says peace on earth. That's not what it says. It says peace among those with whom he is pleased. Do you think race mixers are part of the crowd he's pleased with? Do you think those that violate his commandments are part of the group that he's pleased with? Yeah, there's peace on earth amongst those on whom his favor rests. The rest of the world is in contention. The rest of the world is in tribulation. Why? Because you're fighting against the stream. You're like that poor salmon beating itself up, swimming against the current. You're trying to go your own way. When Father says, go my way, I bring you peace. I bring you joy. I bring you success. Or as my dad used to say all the time, you cannot argue with success. What did that mean? If it works, it must be in alignment with Yahweh's will. Okay? Is our society working today? Hell no. Are things on this earth working today? Hell no. Is the money system to our benefit? Hell no. So what's working? It is the question I've got. Just what the heck is working? That kind of tells me that we're not on the right track. I learned that a long time ago. If you really want your world, your life to be better, if you really want to know the blessings that come from obedience to our Father, then obey Him, which means put His law into practice. You know, when I was younger, a lot of people say, Dan, I've never met anybody like you. You're pretty unique. And I used to think, what the hell are they talking about? I'm probably one of the most ordinary people I've ever met. But now that I've trekked this world for so many years, I've begun to understand that, yeah, I am sort of different. So I would meditate on that. I would think upon that. Well, if I am different, why am I different? What is it about me that's different? And then the words of some of my coaches and my father and mother and words of dear friends and all would come back to me. Because I put into practice what I have learned. Whether it was a teacher in school, whether it was a coach in football or baseball, whether it was an instructor in the military or an instructor in nuclear power, I did what they said to do. It reminds me one time in Georgia, I was at the gym working out, and I used to be a gym junkie. I used to be in the gym working out quite often. And I had a young lady as my trainer there. She had won the Miss Fort Gordon contest in bodybuilding, and she was attractive, and she was my coach, and I told her what parts of the body I wanted to work on and all, and she gave me routines to do, and I'm going to tell you, they were hellish. They were tough, especially the one she gave me for building up my biceps. They hurt like hell. But I remember one day I looked over across the gym and she had a young soldier from the fort that was looking to join the gym and was talking to her about being a coach. And she looked over and she said, see that guy over there? She said, that's Dan. She goes, look at the size of his arms. Do you know how he got those arms? Because he did what I told him to do. Even though it hurt like hell. It was not comfortable, but I did it. I followed the instructions. I'm going to tell you something. That I glowed for the rest of the time I was in the gym that night. My exercises didn't hurt near as bad because a kind word had been said. A form of accomplishment was felt. Well, it's the same thing with our Heavenly Father and His Word that He's given us in print and through the Holy Spirit. If you want the blessings, if you want the bigger biceps, you do the exercises. If you want the blessings that come from the person that made us, you put His law into practice. And I looked at that and I thought about that. If I am truly different than most folks, that's what sets me apart. And I teach it, and I've been teaching it for almost 40 years now. Put it into practice. Why is it that Miss Ella, who turns 81 tomorrow, when you talk to her, when you interface with her, you think you're talking to a woman in her 30s or 40s? Why is that? Because she puts it into practice. What does she put into practice, Dan? How about clean water, a better diet, a better attitude, drive to perfection, a drive to serve our Heavenly Father, a drive to serve her kinfolk, a drive to seek truth and share it with the world. She's like a young lady now. Same thing with me, 70 years old. I don't feel it. I don't look it. I don't act it. Why? Because I'm not like the rest of the world. I trust the Father. I put His word into practice in my life. Am I perfect at it? Hell no. Who is? But I never once turned against it. I never once told somebody, oh, I don't mess with the food laws. I'm going to eat whatever the hell I want to eat. Really? Well, then you're the one laying in that hospital bed ready for joint replacement tomorrow, or you're up there getting chemicals pumped into you by the medical mafia, whereas I haven't been to a doctor in so long, I can't remember the last time. And I will not go to a doctor. I will not go to a clinic. I will not go to a hospital, because that's a death sentence. For me, you do whatever you want to do. I'm never going there. That's the death sentence. Yahweh gives me life because He tells me truth. He told me a long time ago, drink clean water. Even when I was in the military, that means I was in my 20s, I started drinking purified water. Clear back then, 1970s, okay? I knew that tap water and chemicals in water like chlorine and all the rest were bad for you. Something as simple as that. Drinking pure water. How much of our body is water? Ella could tell you. I can't remember. It's a high percentage. I know that. Is water. Do you think the kind of water you put in there might have an effect? Hell yeah. Psalm 34, verse 14. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. What does our enemy, the adversary, want us to do? Seek war. Make money from the war machine. I told you about the military people I met at the American Legion one night, and the bartender was the wife of a Marine officer, and I said, you must be happy then that the boys are coming back from Syria, and she said, well, not really. And I just looked at her kind of odd, and I said, why not? She goes, let's just say heavily invested. Okay, that simple little phrase, heavily invested. What did that tell me? That she and her husband are invested in the war machine. So much so that they regretted pulling our boys and girls out of Syria at the time, away from danger, because it might impact the bottom line on their budget. That's what's wrong in this world today. Even our military people, who you would think would care about fellow people in the military, who you would think would care about themselves. But no, if they're making money, then it must be good. Lord, have mercy on our souls. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with Yahweh God through our Messiah, Yahshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Amen. Philippians 4, starting at verse 6, do not be anxious about anything. Did you hear that? Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication. And I know you had a public school education, so you're going to have to get your dictionary out and look that up. With thanksgiving, let your requests be known to Yahweh God. Oh, wait a minute. What is it? With thanksgiving. That's another one so many people seem to overlook. They know about leaving their requests with our genie in the bottle, known as Yahweh. But they forget that supplication with thanksgiving. Do they give the thanks first? Do they give the, well, thank you for the fact of my health or the shelter I live in or the fact that I'm even alive, that you gave me life, that you educated me about the truth of this world, that you told me my identity versus the church world that keeps us in the dark? do you start out with the Thanksgiving part, or do you bypass that and go straight to the requests? And the peace of Yahweh God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Yahshua Messiah. Matthew 24, verse 6. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Boy, does that sound familiar? See that you are not alarmed. Are you listening? For this must take place. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. This nation against nation is racial, by the way. Races raging against each other. Because kingdom against kingdom is taking care of the country against country. And there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. Those Greek words are not talking about strictly famines and earthquakes as we know them in English. It's also talking about social upheaval. And again, what do you see in the world around you? Now, speaking of Miss Ella and others, I've gotten it from other people and even some secular sources. She's been doing a lot of deep diving into the book of Daniel and the predictions at the end of the age. The books that were, quote, sealed to the end of time, to the end of the age, okay? And these very spiritual, big-hearted individuals are all coming to a very similar conclusion, and that is we're going to see a very, very significant event happen in the fall of 2024. Could be the time of the Great Jubilee. It could be the time of the Great Reset where the wicked pay and we rejoice. And, of course, there'll be the earthquakes, famines, and upheaval between now and then, obviously. Because Satan's kids know their time is short. What's Scripture say about that? When the dragon knows the time is short, his wrath will be great. Do you think the kikes in Palestine are having much mercy on the Palestinians? Their wrath is great. They're not even trying to hide the fact that they are vicious, bloodthirsty creatures. They have openly admitted that non-Jews are just mere animals. They've admitted this in public. They have admitted this on video. Now, there are laws on the books that say an admission of guilt in a courtroom means that no trial is necessary. An admission of treason in a courtroom means no trial is necessary. What is that saying? That means that if you're willing to stand up in an open forum and declare yourself Antichrist, then you deserve everything you're about to get. Isn't that true? Makes sense to me. These people have admitted that they are the masters of this world, that they are the only ones that are to be in charge and supreme upon the earth. And yet, at the same time, the Jewish news media and the Jewish-run governments are saying white supremacism is the threat of mankind. Again, the complete opposite. These people turn the world 180 degrees out of sync. So they want you to look towards the white Caucasian Israelites as if we are the problem, when in fact, look in the mirror, Mr. Jew, you are the problem. And the world is starting to wake up to this. Praise Yahweh. They're finally starting to get it. Now, the folks that know the identity message, we've known this for decades, many decades. That's why we call it identity. We don't call it Christian identity because we don't want to be associated with the word Christian. Okay, just like the word Christmas. Where does the word Christmas come from? Christ Mass. The Catholic Church. The Christ Mass. Okay, the very word itself is Roman Catholic, which means of the adversary. So So we do not want to be associated with those who pretend to be something when they are not. They pretend to be followers of the way, and yet they pay lip service to the King of Kings. Proverbs 16, verse 7, when a man's ways please Yahweh, he makes even his enemies be at peace with him. Have you ever noticed that? I've been in a lot of situations in my life. You know, I was just thinking about this the other day. I've been in many, many situations where I could have been done great harm. Great harm. And yet Yahweh has seen fit that I've never had a broken bone. I've never had my skin pierced. I've never been assaulted. Never been in a fist fight. I'm talking about a serious fist fight. Never. And yet I played lots of years of baseball, lots of years of football. I was in the military during a war. And yet Yahweh has walked with me, and I've been at peace with most everybody I've dealt with. I've worked with people of other races and other cultures, and we all got along fine. When a man's ways please Yahweh, he makes even his enemies be at peace with him. Why do you think that is? Because these other people could see that I walked with the Father. And when you walk with the Father, you emulate the Father, which means you are a truth teller as well as a truth seeker. You will walk a mile in somebody else's shoes before you condemn them. You will put your words through a filter before you speak them. And when given a chance, you do good rather than harm. People of all cultures and races recognize that. Even if they're not even conscious of it, they recognize it. I've been in courtrooms within courthouses that are completely Jewish. I've told this story many times. Okay, the state that I was in was a governor Jewish. The lieutenant governor was Jewish. The secretary of state was Jewish. The building that I was in was named after a Jewish woman. The prosecutor was Jewish. The assistant prosecutor was Jewish. So was I in the devil's den? Yeah. Just like Daniel in the lion's den, I was in the devil's den. And yet that verse, Proverbs 16, verse 7, Father Yahweh was with me. The enemy was the one with a look of fear in their eyes. Even though inside I was nervous as hell, I'll admit it. I was pretty nervous, anxious even. But I kept it suppressed, and I stood my ground based on what? Truth, honesty, integrity. And they didn't know what to do. They really did not know how to handle me. Praise Yahweh. Why? Because he's truth, honor. He does not lie, does not get us to go into areas that we don't belong. He is faithful and true. Always. He sticks closer than a friend. Have you ever heard that verse before? I looked through my life. There were plenty of people said they loved me, but they didn't love me the way Yahweh does. I've had plenty of women tell me they love me. In fact, I've had a lot of them say they would die for me, and yet they had no problem stealing from me, cheating on me. But they would die for me. So did they tell me the truth? Maybe they thought that's the way they felt, but did they follow through? No. But does Yahweh follow through? Yeah. What's the lesson? Trust the Father. Trust the Father above all things. And then you will have the relationship with him that you seek. Isaiah 9, starting at verse 6, for unto us is born, a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Did you hear that? The government, the control of our minds, that's where the word government comes from, controlling of the mind, is on his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, through what? The Holy Spirit. Mighty God. Now, that's kind of funny, because I've heard people tell me that Jesus and God are different, but yet this child being born is called Mighty God. He's also called Everlasting Father. Prince of Peace. Or of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of Yahweh of hosts will do this. One in the same. One in the same. There's only one Elohim God, whether you want to believe it or not. And you better be careful if you don't. He says, I am a jealous Elohim God. Do not give my glory to another. Be careful, folks. Even Yeshua said himself in Luke chapter 12, verse 51, do you think that I've come to give peace on the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. Why is that? Because this world is full of itself. It's narcissistic, is it not? We have a pandemic in this world. It's sure as hell not COVID. That doesn't even exist. But we do have a pandemic. It's called narcissism. Go look it up. Basically, self-centered. Narcissists live in a world where they are the most important thing in the world. And you know that that is true. The average lemming out here on the street that I see going by, the whole world wraps around them and nobody else. Hebrews 12, verse 14, strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without, which no one will see Yahweh. Strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without. The holiness without which no one will see Yahweh. Amen. Holiness. What is holiness? Separation. Consecration. That's what that word means. Separation. 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 Separation from what, Dan? From Babylon. This Babylonian system we have around here. Romans 12, verse 18, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Right? Galatians 5, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. And on and on. The fruit of what? His spirit, not your spirit, not the flesh. The flesh is always going after things it shouldn't be. Is that true or not? Psalm 119, verse 165. Great peace have those who love your law. Great peace have those who love and obey your law. Nothing can make them stumble. Amen, right? Psalm 105, starting at verse 12. When they were few in number, talking about our ancestors, of little account and sojourners in it, wandering from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another people. He, Yahweh, allowed no one to oppress them. He rebuked kings on their account, saying, touch not my anointed ones, do my prophets no harm. Do you think Yahweh does that? Yeah, amen. But you have to understand something. People say, well, Yahweh will constantly take care of me. I've had people just, every other word out of their mouth is the Lord or Yahweh. You know, like every little thing happening in their daily life is Yahweh doing it, okay? Unbelievable. Like we have no free will whatsoever. And yet, what he's saying here is that he said not to touch his anointed ones. Anointed ones. Who are his anointed ones? Everybody that says they're a believer? Everybody carrying a Bible around or reciting verses? Or does it show in other ways? Is there power in the person? If you're anointed of Yahweh, you are a king and an ambassador. You're his representative on this earth. You magnify him. You represent him to everything and everyone around you. When you reach that status, then you can count on Father watching over you, blessing you, and protecting you. Why would he do it for those that don't do that? You know, a lot of people talk about the great reset coming, and we're talking about the positive reset, the end of the age reset, where all of the wealth that has been stolen from mankind by these kikes is going to be let loose back onto the people. But remember something, there has to be a cleansing first. All right? Think about this for a minute. Why would the Father bless mankind with that kind of a blessing when they are unrepentant? When they have no remorse for their disobedience and their behavior? Why would he do that? Why would he not cleanse us first? Why would he not remove from this earth the wicked? That's why I say, careful, people. People are saying they want to see this blessing come, and they get depressed because they see the turmoil. They see the ugliness of this world. Where's the blessing? Well, there has to be a cleansing first. Does it not say in Scripture that nothing that offends him will come into his kingdom? The kingdom here on earth? I know there's a kingdom within you. Yeah, that's what we have right now. But there's a kingdom coming that is on earth. Literally, right here, a kingdom. And there will be no antichrist. There will be no lawbreakers. There will be no contention with the Creator. Nothing that offends him will come into that kingdom. So be careful if you're desirous of seeing the kingdom right now, unless, of course, you have become one of his anointed. If you have prayed not only the sinner's prayer, but just the prayer of your own, of remorse of who you've been in the past, remorse of not doing the job that he gave you to do, remorse in the state of this world and the state of our people. I mean, come on, look around you. The white race, the true Israelites of old, look at them. They're some of the most detestable people on earth. Look at what we're doing in the name of Yahweh, bombing the living shit out of other countries. And we've been doing it for decades. And now we're doing it in Palestine, in the Ukraine. Hundreds of thousands of innocent souls murdered. Murdered in the name of corporate Jewish profit. And we go along with it. We are guilty of that sin, as well as the perpetrators, as well as the organizers and the planners, as well as the financiers that pay for this nonsense. When we do not resist it, we are complicit with it. So be careful. when you wish for the kingdom, because he's going to cleanse out the dross. He's going to cleanse this earth first with a great fire. And I don't mean literal fire. I'm talking about the fire of judgment. Why does Scripture refer to judgment as fire? Because I grew up on a farm, and when we wanted to get a field ready to plant, we would set on fire all of the straw and the leftovers from the hay and the dying plants. We would set it on fire. That did two things. The weak and dying plants would die. The plants that were already dead and they'd become dry like straw on the ground, they would all be quickly consumed. And the ash would then turn into fertilizer for the field and for the crop that was coming. And healthy plants often would be singed, but they would survive. And so then the field was ready for planting. The kingdom is very similar to that. Our Father is not going to allow the dead and the dried up and the weak and those that do not do the work for Yahweh. Those will become as weeds in the field and they will be burned away. The tares, as in the parable of the wheat and the tares. We're living in that time. That's why he said, I've come to bring a sword. I'm going to divide the camp, just like the whole COVID nonsense has divided everybody in the country. Every single person I communicate with is going through the same thing. They have lost family members. They have lost coworkers. They have lost close friends and neighbors over the issue of truth. Because we have found out many people don't care about the truth, which means they also don't care about our Father in heaven, because he is the truth, the way, and the life. The church world talks about salvation all the time, but they have their earthly, man-made version when salvation of Yahweh comes in the form of saving you from harm, which is what the Greek word soter means. To save from harm. Why? Because if you obey the truth, you will be saved from putting poisons in your body, putting serums and toxins in your body, from putting Fauci-made poisons and toxins in the form of a, quote, vaccine, which is a lie, in your body. You start buying your food, like many of the people I've been talking to lately, they're seeking out the Amish farmermen in the area, and praise be for the Amish. Most of them, not all of them, but most of them are totally organic, non-GMO, okay? Or other local secular farmers that get it, they're organic, non-GMO, but you're going to have to check them out. And people are starting to get that. They're buying from local producers. Maybe it's your neighbor. Maybe your neighbor's got some fruit trees in the backyard. Maybe they've got a greenhouse where they're growing herbs and spices, and they're doing it with heirloom seeds, and it's all organic. That's who you have to seek out if you care about what's in your body, if you care about life and health and happiness. The world is dying around us because they worship a false god called government, called the medical mafia, called television advertising. All of it Jewish run, by the way. Lies, lies, and more lies. Because the truth is not popular, you will not be popular telling the truth. Okay, you're not going to get rich, just like myself. I am not rich in the way of the world anyway, by telling this truth. Having done it this many years, I'm going to tell you, it sure as hell has not made me money at all. My payment is when I get a letter from the professor that I was introduced to recently, who's been a professor at a major university for over 30 years, but he is a truth seeker. And the lady that introduced us is one of my close friends, and she is a truth teller as well up in Canada. So Yahweh, one by one, as we said almost 25 years ago, we're going to get this truth out to the house of Jacob Israel, even if we have to do it one Israelite at a time. And boy, oh boy, that's not far from the truth. But Yahweh promises that his truth and his teachings will not go forth and not bring back a bounteous profit, a bounteous reward to the truth teller. And there is, like I said, when I get a letter from a professor who has listened to one of the broadcasts and looked at the website and looked at the material, and instead of denigrating it and being condescending, was appreciative and joyous that he found somebody telling the truth. Hallelujah for that. Hallelujah. Doesn't matter who you are, what station in life you are, if you're a truth seeker, the truth resonates with people seeking the truth. Just like Scripture says, the Spirit testifies to the truth. That is that warm and fuzzy feeling. That is that vibration that comes over you when somebody's telling you truth. And as Miss Ella can testify to, when we first started talking, there were things I told her that most people would have hung up the phone and walked away from me, but she stuck with it. She stuck with it because the Spirit told her that I was telling the truth. And again, I'm not saying I'm perfect. And trust me, Ella and many others and I have had plenty of arguments and disagreements over the years. But they're always done it in the spirit of trying to find truth, trying to understand and communicate with each other. Because remember, just because your mind has a thought in it and you speak it into the English language, that does not guarantee that the people listening are going to get that same thought in their head when they hear those words. That is not a guarantee, especially in this day and age when our education system has produced some very ignorant people. Okay, back in the day of Thomas Jefferson and the founding fathers and philosophers, they understood the written word much better than we do. Their diction and their vocabulary was astounding. Today, that's not necessarily true. So you have to be careful. Just because you speak something, it's not guaranteed the other person's picking up what you're laying down. Language is a science. Communication is a science. And communicating with each other is today vitally important. And making sure that your thought process, what you're trying to convey to the other person, you need to verify that. Because they may have picked up something totally different than what you meant. Does that make sense? I hope it does. So again, I know the rest of the world is looking forward to tomorrow being, quote, Christmas and all that it brings. And I have to admit, when I was younger, back in the 50s and 60s, Christmas was a time of family get-togethers and going to church and singing choir, singing hymns, caroling, and different things like that. A much different time in America 1.0 versus America 2.0, which we find ourselves in today. So I'm not trying to rain on anybody's parade when I say that this date is not the birth date of our Messiah. I'm not trying to say that it's evil or bad that you want to have peace and that you want to get along with your fellow man. We're always encouraged to do that, no matter what time of year it is. All we're saying is understand the truth of the matter, okay? Understand that this is a, quote, tradition, but it's not based on truth. That's all I'm saying. And I teach it to other people if they want to know the truth. I don't beat them over the head with it. I just simply tell them. I don't partake. I don't have a tree. I don't send cards out, and I don't buy gifts because I do not wish to partake in a pagan ritual, a tradition that leads people in the wrong direction. his birth at the time of the Feast of Tabernacles is very, very significant, as we're going to find out next year. So that being said, dear Heavenly Father, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this opportunity to share with our brothers and sisters around the world. We also want them all to remember that the Wednesday night conference call is still there, waiting for any of Jacob Israel to need it for any particular reason. We can schedule a time of fellowship and come together then. I just did not want to be a, quote, ritual scheduled thing every Wednesday night. And I pray that people would understand that. It's still there. It's still available. It's just not, quote, scheduled on a weekly basis. Many of our people have expressed a desire for fellowship, and that's what we're here for. It doesn't matter what day, what time of day. It doesn't matter on location. It doesn't matter about any of that. That's what we're here for. We're a family. We are here to edify one another, educate one another. And Father Yahweh, we ask you bless that effort. We ask that you put it in the hearts of our people to care as much about each other as we care about ourselves. So during this time of family get-togethers, we ask a blessing upon people. We thank you, Father, for the health. My daughter is out of the hospital, praise Yahweh, and no operation was needed. My brother's blood pressure has settled down, and he and his wife are both in better health today. A lot of things to be thankful for. Many, many things. So in the spirit of thanksgiving, Father, we thank you for this opportunity using technology. Even though much evil's done with it, there's also good. And we pray that that continues. We pray that more people awaken to desire for the truth. And when they seek the truth, they will seek you, and they will come back to you, because after all, that is the mission we all have, to bring our family together under you, our true King, lawgiver, and judge. You and you alone will save us, as Isaiah 33, verse 22 clearly states. Forgive us our sins and shortcomings, Father. Walk with us always. Guide us in all that we say and do to thy glory and for thy kingdom. We ask all this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.